Welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Fishermen Ministry Thursday night service.
God of Lord, I just praise you. Thank you for another day to serve you. Just pray, Lord, that you bless this service, that may this worship be pleasing to you, Lord. May it be a joyful noise to your ears. May your word go forth, and may we receive it and walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening, everyone. I've been really thinking about entering into the Lord's rest and find myself thinking about it because I find myself so easily out of it. And, you know, the Lord says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Doesn't say big, small, you know, just big or just small. It says all of them. And that's an action on my part. And if I'm not casting those things upon him that are concerns to me or cares, and I find myself burdened and weighed down, whose fault is that? It's mine. It's not him. He's good. He has a way out for me. I have to choose to take it. And I was also thinking about the come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Same thing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's an if and a then. It's an if and a then. And if I find myself not being in his rest, who does that fall upon? Me. He's good. He's got a way out. He's told me what to do. Come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. I was remembering a sermon that I know it was Rick because I remember Rick, and I think it was back when he was here, and it was about, you know, sometimes it's not the boulder that trips us up, it's the pebbles in our shoe, the little things. And you know, the boulders, you got the big things. I don't seem to have a hard time taking the big things to the Lord. I know for myself, I cannot or have not been as faithful about taking the little things, the little day-to-day things, the cares and concerns and things that come up throughout my day. And, you know, if I have one pebble in my shoe, I can walk. It's not that uncomfortable. Feel it, but, you know, it's there. Next thing you know, I have five pebbles. Next thing you know, I have 10 pebbles in my shoe. Now it's kind of hard to walk. Next thing you know, I have 15 pebbles in my shoe. And now it's not only hard to walk, it's hard to stand. And it's my choice to take these things to him, all of them, the little, the big, whatever it is. He has not called me to be stressed. He has not called any of us in him to be worried, stressed, overwhelmed, all of the things that for me personally can easily beset me. He has called us, that's bondage. It's bondage is not his way. He has called that we would have life and life abundantly, not those things. Those who the Son has set free are free indeed. And I started thinking about Hebrews, and I'm going to go to Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I can know it up here, but if it's not mixed with faith and I don't believe it here, what does it profit me? For we which have believed do not enter into his, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And when I read that, it is important that we enter into that rest. If we don't, it's unbelief. There is not a single thing in my life or going on around me that he is not bigger than. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is true. And to not enter in his rest is to essentially say he's not. Because if I believed that he was, I wouldn't have a problem walking away and leaving it at his feet and knowing with an expectation that he's going to move forward in it. He is good. And I say this to myself and anybody else. If you have things that are burdening to you or that you're concerned about, I mean, it doesn't have to be some huge thing. Take it all to him and lay it at his feet. A loving father with his hand out. It's an invitation open. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will not do it for you, but it is an invitation. His hand is out. Come unto me, my children. Come unto me. Just choose to give it to him and lay it at his feet and trust him with an expectation. We don't have to know what it's going to look like or how it's going to work out. But you move forward with an expectation that he's going to deal with it, period. How it looks doesn't matter.
One of these verses that I'm not having any luck finding hope refers to us as speaking the oracles of God. I don't know if that's enough to put in the thing and find it or not. Thought it was in Peter, but my quick scan did not find it. Entering his rest. You know, entering his rest is really the definition of having successfully put off our flesh and our own desires and our own will and submitted to his will and speaking the things he wants us to speak and saying and doing the things he wants us to do. The encouragement, it is right there within, like, 17 verses. And I don't go to Hebrews for this, but, I mean, the concept to me has always been, you know, so foreign. As Hebrews says, he has entered his rest, has ceased from his labor. It doesn't say he ceased from the Lord's work, it says he ceased from his labor. Because the only way you can be all about the Lord's work and pleasing the Lord is when you have put yours down. Because it doesn't matter anymore. And then you've actually put yourself in a position to let him take care of those issues. Just like a father would take care of his children. which once you arrive there, you realize what that verse in Matthew means, where he talks about offending any of these little ones. These little ones are going to be big ones that trust in him. In the same way children trust their fathers, that all their needs are going to be met. When they walk into their bedroom at night, Edmund, and they turn that light switch on, they trust you paid the power bill, don't they? They don't even question it. Just go in and turn on the lights. When you have relied, when you have committed yourself to doing his thing, and rely on him to take care of everything else, then you plugged into the seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm having a brain freeze, but I'm going to get back to it. All these things will be added unto you. Everything, all that stuff you need, and you think you have to be about the business of acquiring. Looking out for number one, the ticket to it is seeking him and his righteousness, not your own, his righteousness. And the word says, all these things will be added unto you. Now, if you can believe that word, and when you speak only his oracles, his word, and do only that which he has told you to do, whether it be from your authority, from your disciple, or if they're different people. But that's the way the Word of God comes to you. The Word of God comes to you from other Christians, other believers, from perhaps your pastor, or your evangelist, or whoever else in the body is ministering to you. Or direct. God taps you on the shoulder and speaks to you and tells you to do something. I don't know. But when that's the only thing you're concerned about hearing and doing, you'll be surprised how much of it you receive. Then it's up to you to commit to it. And the more you commit to it, the less stressed and pressed you are, because the acquisition of things is a stressful endeavor. You're never quite satisfied that you got enough of it, or that you got a good enough deal, or that you'll be able to get any more of it when you go back next week. But when those are the things that you're trusting him to be adding unto you, and all your concern is that his word gets spoken, and his work, what he speaks and tells you to do, you do, then you've entered into his rest, and all that other stuff doesn't matter to you. You never saw Jesus standing up there wringing his hands. He spent a lot of time by himself and praying. And knowing the will of the Father. But you didn't see him wringing his hands. He knew exactly what to do in every situation. And he didn't go pioneering in trying to establish his own way of handling things. He did that which his Father gave him to do. And he wasn't stressed and he wasn't pressed. And the only time we ever saw any evidence of his humanity was when he had to make the decision himself that it wasn't about his will, it was about the Father's will when he was going to the cross imminently, within a few hours. If there be any other way of handling this, Lord, but not my will, thy will be done. You know, if we could say that and we weren't doing that simply for dramatic effect or theatrics, that would be evidence that we had entered his rest. I was always hoped that he was grading on the curve on that one, and just offering that was enough to get a pass. I don't believe that's the case anymore. I believe you have to believe that. You have to believe that the only thing that matters is his will. The only word that matters is his word. You can ask my opinion for about something, but that's just my opinion. It ain't going to help you one way or the other. What's going to help you is his word. My opinion might justify you, and I can't have that. His word does all kinds of work, amongst which is conviction, leading unto repentance, leading unto salvation. His word works good work. And it is an important evidence of having entered into his rest. By that standard, you realize how few people have entered into his rest. But it is definitely our destination and our desired destination and goal. Because it is evidence of who you're committed to. Are you still all about you, or are you all about him? Because that's where the rest is. It's in being all about him. I'm done.
refuge and my strength, O God of my salvation, mighty Prince of Peace, and Lord of every nation, and of your power, there will be.
Good evening, everybody. You know, the one thing I'll say is, you know, we got Jesus. You were talking about Jesus making a choice. Not my will be done, but yours. And he sent out the rock. And we also have that scripture where he's talking about who was in all points tempted just like we were. And we also have that scripture. It's kind of going through trying to find these, but really couldn't find too much of him being that perfect example, being the author and finisher of our faith. And you can see what he did was make that choice. I mean, that's essentially what y'all are talking about. What really entering into his rest is just making a choice. Just as he did. And he made that choice all the way through, all the way through to the end, all the way through to the obedience of the death of the cross. And that's really just one thing I just wanted to highlight. And he did enter that rest. He walked in that rest. He was that perfect example. And if you see the scriptures and you look and just read John, you can see where it's just believe him, believe him, believe him. Over and over and over again. And that's where you enter into his rest. And it's a freeing thing. It's not a bondage thing. It's doing his will is a freeing thing. It's not bonding. It is what it is. But that's all I wanted to point out. It's a choice, really. It's a choice we all have. Oh,
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.